the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. From now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice, one animal for each household. If a family is too small to eat a whole animal, then let them share with another family in the neighborhood. Divide the animal according to the size of each family and how much you can eat. The animal you select must be 1 year old male, either sheep or goat, with no defects. Take special care of this chosen animal until the evening of the 14th day of the first month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter the lamb or the young goat at twilight. They are to take some of the blood and smear it on the sides and the top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the animal. That same night, they must roast the meat over a fire, eating it along with bitter salad greens and bread made without yeast. Do not eat any of the meat raw or boiled in oil or boiled in water. The whole animal, including the head, legs, internal organs, must be roasted over a fire. Do not leave any of it until the next morning. Burn whatever is not eaten before morning. These are your instructions for eating this meal. Be fully dressed, wear your sandals, and carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meat with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt, strike down every firstborn son and every firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all of the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on the doorpost will serve as a sign marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. All right, are you all ready for the word today?
I remember the old song. I bet Doreen remembers it. When I see the blood, 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 I will pass over you. Anybody remember that song? Some of you old guys. How many of you never heard that song? Now you have. Oh, we used to sing that quite often. I want to read a verse of scripture. This is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Paul was dealing with a very difficult situation in that church. In fact, he was dealing with an individual. And he says, "Get rid of the old yeast by removing this wicked person from among you. Then you will be like a fresh batch of dough made without yeast, which is what you really are. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us." This verse calls Jesus our Passover lamb. And we are in the at the end of our series that we're doing called Pictures. And we're looking in the Old Testament. We're looking at pictures of Christ. We're seeing pictures of God, what He's like, what His heart is like. And we have found out that the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are the same God. Okay? It's the same God. They have the same heart. They believe the same. They have the same vision. They have the same purpose. Even though years ago in early church history, there was a guy who... one of the early church fathers, and he was branded a heretic, but he basically said that the God of the Old Testament is mean and vindictive, and it's a different God than the one in the New Testament, which is a loving God. And that's not true. He is the same God. Many times we focus in on the negatives. We focus in on the judgment part. But we don't take time to look under the surface just a little bit and to see the heart of our Father God. And if you remember John 3:16, for God hated the world so much. No, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so we see that the motive of the heart of God is love. It's not judgment. He is not wanting to judge and condemn people. You know, in fact, but the Bible does tell us that if we don't believe on the Son of God, then we're already condemned. And when God has provided such a way for us that we might know Him, that we might have life, and we reject His way, then the Bible says that we're already condemned. See, we don't get to do it our way. We Americans, we like doing things our way. We like making our own way, our own rules. But, you know, with God, that's not the way it works. It's learning to give our lives to Him, learning to submit our lives and our hearts to Him. And one of the great pictures, and this is probably one of the great, I say this every week, this is probably one of the greatest, but the Passover lamb is such a great picture of Jesus. And I've got about 12 minutes, Nancy, to do this. So I want to talk to you today why we believe that Jesus is the Passover lamb. Now, number one, it's because the Bible says He is. But what is there about this? And we're going to look at it from the scriptural standpoint, and then we're going to look at it from the Jewish standpoint. And this is pretty interesting. So I'm going to go through it pretty quickly. Number one, if you're taking notes and write these down, I've got five from scripture. If you look at this scripture that we read, it says that this is going to happen, and he's going to start all over in numbering our years, and this month, the month of Nisan, will be the first month of the year. You're going to get a new beginning. And so Passover is in the first month of the Jewish year. So this speaks to us of new beginnings. It's a starting over. And see, when we experience our Passover, now you do know that Passover and the crucifixion line up. You do know that. I mean, we've been around. If you're new and you don't know that, let me tell you, that's true. The week that Jesus was killed, they were celebrating Passover. So it all lines up. So when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when you invite Him into your heart, guess what you get? You get a new beginning. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things become new. It's out with the old, in with the new. It's a starting over. It's a starting over. See, we're all born into sin. We all have a sin problem. But one of the things that the Passover lamb does is that He deals with the sin problem. And so when we accept that, and we'll get into that a little bit more, as we accept that, we get to start over. The sin is gone. The new has come. The old man is gone. There's a new man in his place. So we get a new beginning. So it's kind of interesting, or we could say it's an interesting coincidence how this lines up. Don't think it's a coincidence. God did it on purpose. He did it on purpose. So the second thing is that the lamb was taken on the 10th day of Nisan. He was singled out from the flock, separated from the flock, and was appointed to death on the 10th day of Nisan. Now, he didn't die that day, but he was appointed to death that day. You remember at the baptism of Jesus, as He was being baptized, He came up out of the water, and God spoke from heaven. He says, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." When John saw Him coming, do you know what he said? He says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." So before He died, it was declared that He was the Lamb of God. In fact, Scripture tells us, I believe it's in the book of Revelation, that He is called the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. So just as the Lamb was appointed unto death on the 10th day of Nisan before He died, Jesus was appointed unto death from the foundation of the world and declared to that almost between 3.5 and 4 years before he died, it was declared that he was appointed unto death. Now, the third thing, and I wish I had time to go through all of this slowly, but he is the Lamb without blemish. This lamb that they picked couldn't be just any lamb. It had to be a perfect lamb. It had to be a lamb without blemish. In fact, we'll talk about it in a few minutes, how they went through the process of examining this lamb. The lamb could be rejected. It had to be a lamb without blemish. It says to us in Luke 9:34. This is at the Transfiguration. Even as he was saying this, Jesus was talking, a cloud overshadowed them, a terror gripped them as the cloud covered them. Then a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, my chosen one, listen to him." When the voice finished, Jesus was there alone. And then in 1 Peter 1:18, it says this, "For you know that God had paid a ransom to save you from an empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." See, in order for the Passover lamb to be acceptable unto God, it had to be without blemish. And it's a picture of Christ who had to be without blemish. He had to be perfect in order to pay the price for mankind's sin. A blemished lamb, a blemished human could not pay the price. It had to be the sinless Son of God. Now, this is one of the foundation stones of the Christian faith, is the perfect life of Christ. I mean, it's a necessity. If Jesus was not perfect, then you're not saved, because he couldn't be the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. So he had to be without blemish. Now, the fourth thing was that the Lamb was slain and the blood was applied. Now, the lamb was slain at the door of the house. So there was blood at the door. Then they took the blood of the lamb and they put it on the sides of the door. And then they put it over the head of the door, the sides and overhead. So there was blood on the head, there was blood on the sides, and there was blood at the bottom. Where was Jesus pierced? His hands, his feet, and he had a crown of thorns on his head. So what happened with the Passover lamb is a perfect picture of what we see of Christ hanging on the cross. See, when that lamb died and the blood was applied, that's the same thing that we see, that when Jesus hung on the cross, that's where ours took place. That's where our redemption came from. Now, there's an interesting thing here. Is that I want to look at the word applied. The blood had to be applied. You know, that Israelite could have taken the lamb. He could have found a spotless lamb. He could have killed the lamb. But if he hadn't applied the blood to the doorpost, it would have meant death. See, it didn't matter how perfect that Israelite was. It didn't matter what his lineage was. It didn't matter that he kept the Ten Commandments. It didn't matter that he went to synagogue every day. It didn't matter that he did all of these good things. The blood had to be applied. See, it doesn't matter how good a person you are. It doesn't matter how many times a week you go to church. It doesn't matter how many serve projects that you do. It doesn't matter that you're call yourself a Baptist or a Pentecostal or a Catholic. Or it doesn't matter what you call yourself. the blood has to be applied. If the blood is not applied, and this is a picture of faith, because I know a lot of people who believe all of the right things, but they haven't applied it personally to their lives. So not only did the lamb have to be slain, the blood had to be applied. It had to be applied. Now, the fifth thing that we want to look at today, and we can see a picture here, is that each one individually must partake of the lamb. Every person in that household had to partake of the lamb. It wasn't just the head of the household. It was everybody in the household had to partake of the lamb. You cannot, as a parent, your child will not go to heaven because you're a Christian. And I love this picture right here, because our greatest responsibility as the head of our household is to make sure and ensure that our children have the opportunity to personally partake of the Lamb. That's why it is so important that you fathers, you mothers, be the primary spiritual teachers of your children. We can't get it all done here at church. We can't teach them one thing here and you teach them nothing at home. Each individual must partake of the Lamb. That's so important. And every one of us, everyone without exception, if we're going to be saved, if we're going to be set free from our sins, guess what? We individually have to partake of the Lamb. I don't go on my mama's coattail. My mama was a Christian before I was. Thank God. But I don't go to heaven because she's a Christian. I had to partake of the Lamb for myself. My children don't go to heaven. All my kids are saved. But they're not saved because I'm a preacher. They're saved because they, one day, the Spirit of God dealt with them and they individually partook of the Lamb of God. Amen. See, that's why that's so important. That's why that's so important. So there is the things that we see from Scripture. But I want us to take a look, and Dale Cohen has done this while we were, since we've known him. He talks about, why do we call Jesus the Passover Lamb? And he goes back into the Jewish writings and looks at, I think the name of the book is called Pekash. I can't say it right. But he tells the story of the Passover Lamb. When the Passover Lamb is chosen, on the 14th day of the month of Nisan, the lamb is led into Jerusalem through the sheep gate into the temple. As that lamb is being led into the sheep gate, the people are in the street and they're waving palm branches in four different directions. And when they've done that, they throw those palm branches down, and that Passover lamb walks over those palm branches. And as they do that, they recite Psalms 113 through Psalms 118. I want to read a verse to you found in John chapter 12, beginning with verse 12. The next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, this is on the 10th day of Nisan, swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down to the road to meet him. They shouted, "Praise God, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord." That is Psalms 118, verse 26. What were they doing? They were waving their palm branches. They throw their palm branches down. Jesus found a young donkey and rode it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt. That's Zechariah 9:9. His disciples didn't understand at that time that this was fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remember what had happened and realized that these things had been written about him. So the Passover lamb is led through the sheep gate into the temple. The people wave the palm branches, recite the psalm, and throw the palm branches down, and they go over it. For 4 days, the lamb is left in the temple where it is examined thoroughly. In fact, what happens is that Dale said there's about 52 different examinations that they do of the lamb. And he didn't say what they all were. But one of them is that they examine hair follicles. And they'll look at the lamb. And if there is a white hair and a black hair in the same follicle, then the lamb is disqualified. It has to be a perfect specimen. And for 4 days, they examine that lamb. Remember when Jesus was brought into the temple? For he too was under scrutiny. It started with Annas, the father-in-law of the high priest, Caiaphas, the high priest, Pilate, Herod, and then back to Pilate. Jesus went through a trial. And you know, the amazing thing was that they accused him of many things, but they could prove none of them. On the 14th of Nisan, which is Passover Day, Pilate says, "I find no fault in him." On the 14th day of Nisan, the lamb is declared to be blameless. The Passover lamb is declared to be blameless. Then the Passover lamb is led to the altar. You remember the teaching on the tabernacle? They tie him to the brazen altar, which is a picture of what? Of Calvary. They tie him at 9 o'clock in the morning. They tie him to the altar. And he remains there from 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock. Jesus was crucified. What time? Third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. He was there for 6 hours. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know what they did to the Passover lamb? They killed the Passover lamb. What time did Jesus die? 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What they would do then, when they killed the Passover lamb, they punctured its heart to let all of the blood out. No blood could be left in the Passover lamb. What happened when Jesus died? They punctured his heart, and blood and water ran out. After that, they flayed, skinned and flayed the Passover lamb. They put him on a pomegranate pole. They transfix another pole across a horizontal pole to the other pole. They fastened the lamb by the shoulders to that pole. They took his entrails out and they made a crown around his head. Now, this doesn't come from the Old Testament. This comes from the writings of the Jewish fathers. Isn't it amazing that even in the Jewish thing, how much what happened to Christ and what happened to the Passover lamb lines up. Lines up. This is why we believe that Jesus is a perfect picture of the Passover lamb. There's more that we could share, but that's a pretty vivid picture. Jesus is our Passover lamb. And what do we need to take from this today? He may be all of those things, but guess what? If we do not apply his blood to our life, then we will face death. If we will apply the blood by faith to our lives, then we will have life and life more abundantly. See, you can say, well, I'm a good person. I go to church. I do this. You know, I've been raised in church all my life. You know what? I was raised in church. My whole life I have gone to church. I did not find Christ. I did not apply the blood to my life until I was 19 years old. I was raised in church all my life. I was baptized, I was confirmed, and I was lost as a goose. It's not about what you do. It's not about your good works. It's not about being a good person. Do we apply the blood? And we do that by faith. I accept that what he did on that cross, he did for me. I think that that is sufficient for my salvation. There is nothing that I can add to that. There is nothing that I have to do along with that in order to be saved. I have to accept that. Now, when I accept that, things happen in my life and I do certain things, but I do those things because what he did, not trying to earn something. And so, I think the question today, and man, we're all out of time. Have you applied it to your life? Well, I believe that. No, I didn't ask you if you believed it. You do have to believe it. The devil believes it. But what have you done with it? Have you applied it? Well, I'm raised in a Christian family. I was too, and I was lost. Have you applied it to your life? And you know what? If not, you can do that. You can do that. All you got to do is pray the prayer. All you got to do is confess Jesus Christ as Lord. You have to believe that what he did on the cross, he did for you. You have to see him as your Passover lamb. He is your perfection. You sinned. You messed up. You deserve death. And what you have to do is take his life by faith. You have to believe that what he did for you. And you accept that as your salvation. And you believe that. And you confess that with your mouth. And then when you do that, it will open a way of life to you that will cause you to be different than you were before. It's not just a mindless confession. I think Nancy said, getting your card punched. No, we're not talking about just getting your card punched. I hear people say, I got my card punched. And they act like heathens. I'm not the judge, but I'm just wondering, what card did you get punched? Have you applied the blood? When you apply the blood, things change. Things change. Hearts change. You know what? You want to do better. Before I became a Christian, my daddy, bless his heart, mama, made us go to church. Thank God for that. I didn't always want to go. I went to a boring church. Okay? Mostly boring. Learned nothing. But I went to church, and mama and dad made me go to church. And I'm so glad that they did. I think that parents ought to take their kids to church. That was never an option in our house. Well, I just don't want my kid. No, if you don't teach your kid, the world will. But anyway, they made me go to church. I had to go to church. When I got saved, I got to go to church. I didn't have to go. I got to go. I looked forward to going. Not only did I go, I participated because things changed. So I want us to bow our heads. And I'm not giving an altar call, although I am. But you sitting right at your... Let's all bow our heads. You may have been in church all your life and have never done what I'm talking about. And you'd like to do that today. I'm just going to lead the whole congregation in a prayer. And if you've never done that and like to do that today, slip a hand up and say, Pastor, I want to pray that prayer today. Anybody? Anybody? I'm not going to make you get up and come up here. I'm not, even after we pray, we're going to dismiss. But you think that you need to be included in that prayer today. Well, I'm going to lead us in it anyway. I want all of us to pray it out loud. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our Passover lamb. I thank you he's sufficient for my life, my salvation. And by faith today, I apply that to my heart. Thank you, Jesus, for being Lord of my life. I commit anew my life to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's rejoice. Can we do that?